Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh, and I've got the privilege of setting in for Bob. He's in Florida doing another Focus on the Strategy seminar coming up this Saturday. Also, I might mention he had a meeting earlier this week with one of the people at D. James Kennedy's church, which is Coral Ridge Ministry, and they have a seminary there. And he met with Gary Cass, and showed him the Focus on the Strategy. I spoke with Bob about how that went, and he said he thought it went very positive, as good as it could go. Of course, this video is so stunning that if you've lived thinking that your strategy was right, it'll be pretty hard to look at this and then immediately say, I'm going to change what I'm doing, because it's really pretty devastating in terms of how that strategy has been followed in the pro-life world, in trying to end abortion and trying to start teaching people that abortion is always wrong. But he thought it was a positive meeting, and you can get the DVD that started all of this, which is Bob presenting this to an OSA church meeting. And you can order that either at kgov.com, or you can call us at 1-800-8-NYART and order that. And check out all of the materials on the website. It's Christmas time. They make great gifts. And if you've got some and you don't know what to buy for them and you want something unique, call up and get some advice. Tell us a little bit about their personality, and we'll find you something that they will thoroughly enjoy. Everything has a money-back guarantee, and so I'd highly recommend you do that. As Christians, we are to stand up and speak the gospel, and we're to do the right thing. And right isn't us deciding what's right for us, even though the government schools would teach you that. Doing the right thing is telling the truth and standing firm with the gospel. And there's a news story from a couple days ago from Focus on the Family. And the headline says, Christian conservative group dropping Wells Fargo over bank's support of gays. Now, a lot of people, they're going to get a lot of ridicule for this. The comment from Focus on the Family says, Focus on the Family has elected to end its banking relationship with Wells Fargo, motivated primarily by the bank's ongoing efforts to advance the radical homosexual agenda, says a statement on the Focus website dated Thursday and attributed to Focus President and CEO Jim Daly. Our decision is not personal, but principled, and we trust our constituents and others will respect it, it says. Now, this is great, because what they're doing is they're saying, God said this lifestyle is wrong, so we're not going to use our Christian ministry and support someone advancing this. And so they're not making a statement other than to say, we're going to follow what the Bible teaches. And I'm happy to see them do that. And I really appreciate how they're moving more directly to supporting the gospel. Too often in the church, we are ashamed of the gospel, and we're afraid to say what it says. But it's not us offending people. The Bible tells us the gospel will offend people. And so we need to realize we don't have to apologize for the gospel. We need to be strong enough to say we have a right to believe these things. We believe it has a foundation, and we will try to live by it. And there's nothing wrong with that. So I applaud them for doing that. Joining me in studio today is a man, a friend of mine, that you're going to enjoy listening to, and I've known him for years now. And he's one of the people who has stood up to do the right thing under really terrible circumstances. His name is Don Fleming. Don, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Brian. I'm glad to be here.
Don and I have something in common, and that is that on April 20th, 1999, my son died on the sidewalk of Columbine High School, And Don's daughter died in the library of Columbine High School. And what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about a Columbine memorial that we are involved with trying to help fund and to get it built. And Don is heavily involved in the fundraising, and he's developed a memorial pin that – could you tell us about that pin?
Sure, Brian. I'd love to. It's actually my wife, Dee Dee. She developed this memorial, Columbine Memorial pin, and it's about the size of a quarter. It's 7/8 of an inch in diameter, and you can wear it as jewelry or you could just wear it as a lapel pin. And it has a picture of a Columbine on it, and it says Columbine Memorial. And it's very, very tastefully done.
And the proceeds from that, you're selling those for?
We're selling the pin to raise money for the permanent Columbine Memorial, and we're selling them for $13 each.
And the 13, is that a significant number?
Well, yes, it is. On April 20th, 1999, 12 students, 12 innocent students, and one teacher were killed, and that adds up to the number 13.
Right, and so the idea behind this pin is that it's affordable. Again, we're coming up on Christmas, and this is a great gift because it has so much significant meaning. Other than just the sheer beauty of the pin, it says that children are valuable. And the community made a promise and said, we will never forget. This pin is one more way to say, you know, Columbine was wrong. And in order to make changes, we can't forget history.
And that's absolutely correct. And with the pin and the affordability of it, it lets the whole community, and when I say community, I don't just mean Columbine. And I just don't mean Denver or the state of Colorado. I really mean the nation at large can join in and build a proper memorial for these 13 people that were slaughtered that day.
Now, some people may know, but why hasn't a memorial been built? Wasn't there something that happened after Columbine where money was raised?
Yes, Brian, I'm glad you brought that up because in the immediate aftermath of Columbine, at Columbine High School, what they were going to do was reopen the old library where 10 innocent students were killed. And they thought that painting the walls, patching up the walls as well where the bullet holes were, and tearing out the carpet and putting in new carpet would do the trick. And several of the families of those that were that had children that were murdered, and Dave Sanders' family, got together and said, "No, that's wrong."
And I think actually it was unanimous. I think every family joined in and said, "This is wrong. You can't do this because the memory of these children, of this teacher, is too valuable. We can't say as if this was some kind of an accident and we're going to go on. We can't leave that horrific crime scene whose description was all over the media and people survived that and remembered it. We can't do that. You know, our kids were dead. Yet we came together and we said, this is wrong because these other kids are going to face this." Now, I don't suggest that government schools are a good thing. I think they're a terrible thing. But even with that in mind, I think rebuilding this library, tearing down the old one, which is ultimately what happened, and building a new one was the right thing to do. And it needed to be done, not because it benefited us or our children, but because it benefited those that were going to use the building. Is that how you see it?
Well, that's how I see it now, and that's how we all saw it back in 1999 in the year 2000 when the new library was being built. And we had the choice at that time, because it was competing interests after dollars.
Yes.
And what was brought up was, folks, we need to build a Columbine Memorial. And that's what the community wanted. And we stood up and we said, yes, we do need to build a Columbine Memorial, but first we need to build a library. And that library cost $3.1 million, and it was all private funds, and the government didn't get involved in it at all.
Right. The government didn't help fund it. And, of course, it was going into a government building, and what happened there is the school district fought us tooth and nail. They didn't want the library torn out. They wanted to patch over Columbine in the same way that they wanted to patch over those walls and that floor. And that was wrong. And we heard from so many kids that said they could never set foot in that school again if that library remained. So we believed it was the right thing to do, and apparently the world believed it because they raised the money very quickly, and that was done, and there's a new library there. Now, at one time, the school asked us to come in and create a memorial for our kids by painting some tiles. And so we thought, okay, so here's finally the bridge between the families who lost the most and this school district. And they asked us to come in and paint these tiles. And you were going to paint a tile, and as I recall, you decided not to because once it was time to paint, they had given you some arbitrary restriction on your memory.
Yeah, I think you painted your tiles first, so by the time I got there, I was not allowed to paint a tile. And for the audience, these tiles are 4 inches by 4 inches, is what you would find in your bathroom, perhaps.
Right. Yeah, and so I painted some tiles, and, you know, one of them had a Bible verse on it, and Rich painted a stick figure on his, and his daughter painted another one that they actually tore off the wall because it had the evil words, you know, and they spelled out this terrible message, and it was D-A-N for Dan. You know, they spelled out this memory that you could never have, and one of mine said, "There is no rest, there is no peace for the wicked, saith the Lord," I believe is the Bible verse, but I may be slightly misquoting it. And they didn't like that, and I had 13 crosses, and heaven forbid that there's 13 crosses remembering 13 innocent victims. So, Don, you weren't allowed. Do you remember what you were going to paint?
I sure do, because I painted it afterwards, and it's also on another memorial. It happens to be the tombstone of my cherished daughter, Kelly. And it simply said, April 20th, 1999, Jesus wept.
Now, that, of course, is a very powerful statement. And that's a biblical reference. That's not just an arbitrary phrase, is it? So, Jesus wept at the death of people. We know that from his ministry. We know that God doesn't like the suffering of the innocent. Unfortunately, after Columbine, many Christian groups came out and said God did this for a reason, and it's going to bring about a revival and all that. But of course, like so many things that are said with no context to the Bible, they're out of place and they don't turn out to be true. But the truth of the matter is, God did not plan Columbine to bring out some higher purpose. When he gave us free will, he gave us a will to follow him or to reject him, which leads to a lot of the wickedness we have, and especially in a system that doesn't teach right from wrong, such as Columbine High School. But so we painted the tiles, and then they refused to put them up, and they took some of them down, even though we found some 400 tiles and photographed them inside the school that had religious statements or personal views or names or whatever, all the things they said we couldn't do. They were already on the wall and had been for years. And ultimately, we went to federal court and won that court case. And then the appellate court overturned it, and interestingly enough, you've heard me criticize precedent. They overturned it, citing a case that said the school could maintain control, when the case they cited had actually been overturned. But they didn't say that in their ruling. They used the case and ignored the fact that it had been overturned, and it wasn't a suitable precedent. They didn't care about that. And the Supreme Court elected not to hear the case, and they only hear about 2% of the cases that are presented to them, so that was no surprise. But anyhow, so the bridge that we thought was going to be built between the families and Columbine was an artificial bridge that was going to be built on political correctness and had nothing to do with right or wrong. And they didn't want a memory of our kids. They wanted us to come in and cheer Columbine High School as if it was some great place. That wasn't going to happen. And so the new library was built, and all these things went on. And then eventually the focus came back to the memorial. Now, what's unique about the memorial, and I'm involved in it as well, is that the memorial will be at Clement Park, not far from the school. It'll be open to the public. We've downsized it considerably from what the original design was, which was considerably more expensive and actually a little more extravagant than what was appropriate. I think most of the families were kind of surprised at the design, but I think now people really like what it's come back to. But this memorial is important because in this you're going to remember the victims. We're going to be telling the world that it matters, that the murder of innocent people is wrong, and that their memory is important. And there's so many memorials, and some people cynical will say, why one for this? Well, for the school shootings, this marks one of the darkest moments in this country's history. And we should make a commitment to say we're going to remember the people. We're not going to forget. We're going to try to learn from this, and we're going to say it matters. And I think the memorial does that really well.
I think it does, too, particularly with the newer version of it, which is not much different from the original version, other than the use of indigenous materials that come from Colorado instead of, say, some granite that comes from China, which means nothing to me. But, you know, Columbine, Brian, will always and forever be associated with the shootings. There's no getting around that.
Right.
The school may want to deny that, and they can as long as they want to, but it's still a fact. When people hear the word Columbine, they think of the high school shootings. And this memorial will give the community and the nation a place to go to pay their respects to your son, my daughter, and 11 others. And that's what we need. And we don't need buses going to the high school. And regardless of what we might think of the high school and secular schools, it's still there, and we have 2,000 children going to that school every day, and we want it to be a place of learning as much as it can be, and not a tourist attraction.
Right. I agree with that, that having a memorial gives people a place to go. People are drawn to Columbine, as they are often drawn to tragedies of this magnitude that get this kind of attention, and they want to pay their respects, and I think that's a good thing. Now, most important, and one of the reasons that I support this memorial, is it is on government property, and there are, you know, it's an entrance at a government park, and it has all of those things. But what's unique to it is the memory of the people who died is not government speech. It will be developed and written by the families, the ones who knew these people the most.
Which is so important, because those that visit this memorial will get a perspective of it from those closest to those that were killed, and that's the families, instead of a government spokesman writing in politically correct speech.
That's right. And so you're going to learn about the victims through their family's eyes, and you will learn something about my son you didn't know. You're also going to get a sense of what the loss is. Now, some people would run from that and say, I don't want to know. But really, you do want to know. You want to know what the loss is, because the way you live today with your family and your kids can be influenced by what you learn from the loss of others, because the moments that at the time didn't seem that important leading up to Columbine, none of us knew. Our kids wouldn't have been there if we'd have thought something like this was going to happen. I myself kind of had my head in the sand, because I had even spoken with Dan about some of the previous school shootings, but I did what most people do. I figured it was some other area with some other problem and some underlying condition, and it couldn't happen in the upper middle class Columbine area. I just assumed for some reason that my neighbors were decent people who wanted to show their kids right from wrong and would raise them that way. And that turned out not to be true.
And that's interesting. So you're upper middle class, and I'm one of your neighbors. Now I feel like I'm with the upper crust.
Well, and you are when we compare it nationally. You know, neither of us are wealthy, and, you know, there's been this perception, I think, of a lot of people. We've seen it firsthand. They've heard of settlements of lawsuits, and they've heard that the healing fund that United Way put on, that we lovingly call the stealing fund because most of the money went back to the government, not to the victims. But they hear that and they think, well, if $5 million was raised, each of these families got $500,000, and, you know, they should be paying for the memorial. But the truth of the matter is, none of us have prospered or gained money after Columbine. In fact, we have spent tens of thousands of dollars and thousands of hours of time just searching for the truth and trying to look for the real cause of Columbine and expose that. And so, you know, I know there's that perception, but the truth of the matter is Jefferson County, that Littleton, is upper middle class, but we pretty much get by. You know, we have a good living, but we're not certainly outside of the average person in this area, I wouldn't say.
No, I mean, we're able to live in that community, and it is, all in all, a pretty good community.
Yeah, and this is an opportunity. You know, obviously, what I'd like the audience to do is I'd like you to buy one of these pins. This money pays for the cost of the pin, and the rest of it all goes to the memorial. I want to give you an idea where we're at. The memorial, have you got the numbers of what the total expense of the memorial is?
I do, Brian. The memorial is going to cost $1.5 million, and thus far $1,022,000 has been raised, which leaves a balance of $478,000. And there's a few things that we're doing to raise that money, and one of the things is these pins, selling these pins. And I'm going to ask everyone in the audience to buy one, and I'll give you the information on how to in a little bit. But I was talking to Brian earlier, and it was just an informal conversation. I was saying, Brian, growing up and even into my adult life, I had never asked anybody for anything. I was pretty independent, as most of this audience probably is as well. And now we did a lot of giving. We'd go to church and we'd, you know, put our money in the basket and other things. But having to ask somebody for something, never had to do that. I was fortunate. And Columbine came around, and the outpouring of love and the prayers that we heard from all of you in the audience was unbelievable, and you could feel it. And we didn't ask for help even then, but then we built the library and we started to ask. And this will be the second time that I am asking for help for somebody else. And when Brian said, would you like to come on this program, I thought about it and I thought, if I was going to ask anybody, it would be this audience. It would be believers in Christ and believers in God, because those are the people I feel most comfortable with. So I am going to ask you to open your wallets just a little bit and send $13 for a nice pin with a card that has the names of the 13 victims on it.
And, Don, what is the easiest way for people to get a hold of this pin? Is there an address or a website or both?
There's both. And for those of you that have a pin in hand, you can write this down. But the easiest way is the website. It's www.columbinememorial.org. Not .com, but .org. O-R-G. And there'll be a little area there that'll tell you what the address is and where to send your money. And the address is 11757 West Ken Call, and that's C-A-R-Y-L, Avenue. F as in Frank, 532. It's a P.O. box, that's how it is. Littleton, Colorado, 80127. And again, that's 11757 West Kent Call Avenue. And www.columbinememorial.org is where you can find information both on the memorial and how to order a pin.
Yeah, and so you can look at the design of the memorial. You can see where it is and see the, I think, see the importance of it. Don, how old was Kelly?
Kelly was 16 at the time.
And Dan was 15. And in those short years, we had one of the greatest gifts that God can give any family. Would you agree?
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
And these kids are all so special and so unique. I hope you will help support this memorial, because I think its value will be long-lived. And I think it's important to do. And I'd like to encourage you, again, we're coming up on Christmas, and these are a great stocking stuffer. And so you might consider that. I'd also, even after Christmas, if you belong in a church, maybe you could take the lead and you could bring some of these pins in and put them up for sale in the church and tell people about them, or ask us to come tell people about them. But I'd like to see this money raised in the Christian community, because I think you're going to like the memorial, and I think you're going to like the representation of these victims from a godly perspective. I think you're going to like that, because this is not going to be the typical memorial. And, you know, I know from knowing Don and his family and so many of the other families that you're going to find that most of us relied on our faith in Christ through this. And I think the perspective will make this memorial unique in this country. And I'm really looking forward to it. And so if you can, you know, I think it's a great Christmas idea, don't you?
I think it is too. And I'm glad you brought up that other part, Brian, about for those of you that go to church, which I know is everybody out there, to promote these pin sales, or just promoting the Columbine Memorial in your church, it would be wonderful. It's the right thing to do.
And I agree with that. We won't solve the world's problems here, but we will take a little step forward, and we will talk about the relevance of faith and the importance of innocent human life. And once again, as Christians, we will place the focus back on children and why, as adults, we have the obligation to protect them and to make a safe environment and to speak the truth when something's wrong, at what's wrong, and to tell about our foundation in the Bible that tells us right from wrong, because my opinion means nothing. You shouldn't listen to it unless it has some biblical basis. And so the Columbine Memorial, www.columbinememorial.org, easiest place to find out about this. You can call the show and leave a message, and one of us will get back with you as far as that goes. Also, Maranatha Christian Center. If you're looking for an alternative to government school, please consider Maranatha Christian Center, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Thanks for joining us.